Having looked at basic principles of gift relief in the previous session, let us now pick up a few additional points. A gift relief claim can only be made if the donee, i.e. the recipient of the asset, is either resident or ordinarily resident in the UK. To be within the charge to UK capital gains tax, an individual must live in the UK. The revenue will not, therefore, allow a capital gain to be deducted from the base cost of an asset owned by somebody who is outside the scope of UK CGT. On a related point, once a gift relief claim has been made, the deferred gain can be clawed back if the donee emigrates within 6 tax years. Therefore, if a donor gifts an asset to a donee and a gift relief claim is made, if the donee leaves the UK within any of the following 6 tax years, the deferred gain is charged on the donee at the date of his emigration. This rule can present the revenue with a problem because the person who now has a CGT liability, i.e. the donee, no longer lives in the UK, and therefore collection of the capital gains tax could be difficult. Therefore, if the donee fails to pay the capital gains tax within 12 months of the normal due date, the Inland Revenue have the right to pursue the donor for the donee's tax. The Inland Revenue do not care who pays the tax as long as they get it. By way of an example, let us assume that a donor gifts a business asset to a donee in March 2006. The donor makes a capital gain of £20,000 and a gift relief claim is made to defer this gain. In July 2010, the donee leaves the UK permanently. Because the donee has emigrated within 6 tax years of receiving an asset on which a gift relief claim was made, the deferred gain, i.e. £20,000, becomes chargeable on the donee in 2010-11, that is, the year of emigration. As this is a gain in 2010-11, the CGT is payable no later than the 31st of January 2012. However, at this point the donee will be living in another country and may not feel inclined to pay his UK tax bill. HMRC will wait for 12 months, that is until the 31st of January 2013. At this point, the revenue can write to the donor and ask him to pay the donee's tax. Note that this will not change the amount of tax due, which will have been calculated using the donee's rates and annual exemption, etc. These rules do not apply if the donee leaves the UK on a full-time contract of employment and returns to the UK within 3 years. Neither do the rules apply if the donee had sold the asset prior to his emigration. In the session on earnouts and deferred consideration, we mentioned the ability of an individual to make an election to pay his capital gains tax in instalments. In that section, we looked at Section 280 of TCGA 1992. Under Section 280, if a vendor receives his consideration in instalments and the instalment period exceeds 18 months, it may be possible to spread the CGT due over a period which cannot exceed 8 years. In this session, we will look at another instance when capital gains tax can be paid in instalments, this time under Section 281. Under Section 281, if a donor gives away an asset and cannot claim gift relief to defer the capital gain, if the donor makes an election, the CGT due can be paid in 10 equal annual instalments. Typically, this will be the case when the donor gives away a non-business asset and cannot therefore claim gift relief under Section 165. The instalment option is only available in respect of gifts of certain assets. CGT due in respect of gifts of land and buildings can be paid in instalments. For example, if a donor gives away a building which is not used for the purpose of a trade, because no gift relief will be available, the CGT can be paid in instalments under Section 281. The reason behind the legislation is that the donor does not have any cash to pay the capital gains tax, so the revenue will accept the tax in instalments. Tax on gifts of shares in unquoted companies can also be paid in instalments. Tax on gifts of quoted shares can only be paid in instalments if the donor controls the company, i.e. the donor has more than 50% of the voting rights. Remember that Section 281 only applies if the donor cannot make a gift relief claim. Unquoted shares, or shares in a personal company, are usually qualifying assets for gift relief purposes, but only if the company is a trading company.
Therefore, when an individual gives away shares in a non-trading company, i.e. an investment company, he will usually be able to pay his tax in installments. Although the revenue are happy to accept payments of tax in 10 equal installments, these installments will be interest-bearing. This means that interest on the unpaid balance of the tax will be added to each annual installment.
Assume that in May 2010, Rita gives a building to her daughter Jennifer. The building is a non-business asset. The building is worth £200,000 in May 2010, leaving Rita with a capital gain of £120,000. Rita therefore has capital gains tax of £19,782 to pay no later than the 31st of January 2012. Note in this example that no gift relief is available because Rita is giving away a non-business asset. Rita can make an election under section 281 to pay her tax in installments. This is because tax is due on a gift of a qualifying asset, i.e. land or buildings, and no gift relief is available. Assuming Rita makes a claim under section 281, she'll pay her tax in 10 annual installments starting on the 31st of January 2012. The second installment will be due on the 31st of January 2013. This will be another 10% of the tax, being £1,978. However, because the installments are interest-bearing, HMRC will add on 1 year's interest on the unpaid balance of tax. As at the 31st of January 2013, the tax unpaid is £17,804. The interest on this unpaid balance, assuming a rate of 3%, is £534. In January 2013, Rita will therefore pay £2,512 to HMRC.
This will happen each year until the total tax has been discharged.